money.
Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
Hey, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm your host, Noah Getzel, and we are coming to you Wednesday night from D.C. The Wizards just lost to the San Antonio Spurs, marking the Spurs' 21st straight winning season, which is absolutely ridiculous. The Wizards have now lost to the Spurs in San Antonio 18 straight times, and we're going to get to all that along with a little bit talking about Markieff Morris with our guest tonight, Brandon Nguyen from Wizards Extra. Markieff has really stepped up since John Wall's gone down, especially in March. It didn't show tonight. He had only 5 points, but he's been playing pretty well. So we'll talk about that. And finally, we'll talk about what could have been, perhaps, if Kelly Oubre and Tomas Satoransky saw some time earlier. Sato's in his second year, coming over from Czech Republic, and Oubre is in year three. He basically played zilch his rookie season under Randy Whitman. So we're going to discuss all that a little bit later. But first, we're going to start with the Wizards dropping. After winning two straight, they dropped on the road to San Antonio. And the Wizards were a little bit short-staffed. Jody Meeks and Mike Scott were both out with the flu. But as I mentioned, 18 straight losses to the Spurs. The Wizards only scored 90 points. 45 of those came from the bench, so half the points. And the Spurs edged them out 98-90, but really it wasn't that close. It was in the first half. It was tied 18 apiece after the first quarter. The Spurs got ahead a little bit, up by 6 heading into the half. And then that's when San Antonio just took over in the third quarter, allowed just 16 points for the Wizards, outscored them 27-16. And so it was 77-60 heading into the fourth quarter. And there were some spurts in the fourth quarter. It got down to about a dozen or so, but a couple big three-pointers from Kelly Oubre. He and Bradley Beal both led the Wizards with 21, but the Wizards didn't have enough. And it was just smothering defense, honestly, by the Spurs. You could see that in three blocks for Danny Green, including one that really deflated the Wizards at the end of the third quarter when Ramon Sessions was driving and trying to get a buzzer beater to kind of, you know, add some momentum going into that final frame. And it seemed like Danny Green just swatted him all the way back to, like, half court. He was a defensive menace. And as I mentioned, the Wizards had just 90 points. They shot just 42%, letting Spurs hit 50%. Turnovers weren't bad for the Wizards this time around, just 12 of them, but it was really offensive rebounds that made a big difference. So the guard for the Spurs, DeJounte Murray, had 10 rebounds, and 4 of those were offensive. But the real story of the game for San Antonio was, by the way, a few of the Wizards went really cold. So Satoransky was 0 of 8, Sessions 2 of 8, Frazier 1 for 5, so, you know, the guards outside of Bradley Beal didn't shoot well at all. Beal was 9 of 13, but, you know, when he only takes 13 shots, it shows that something's working well defensively. At least he got more of a rest tonight, 31 minutes. Other guys who really struggled shooting, Markieff Morris was 2 of 6 for 5 points. Otto Porter ended up with 12 points, but he was just 5 of 13. And it was just a sloppy game for the Wizards, which will happen when you're facing San Antonio. We had my buddy Drew Smith on the podcast yesterday, Wednesday. And he was talking about how even though the Spurs don't have a ton of scoring options, it's just all about that Popovich system in terms of their defense still being elite. And that they're just locked in now. They've got to make the playoffs. And Another crazy stat about the Spurs, aside from, you know, 21 consecutive winning seasons, like, they still have a chance to win 50 this year. They're 42-30 with 10 games to go. Do you think it's unreasonable for the Spurs to finish 8-2 and get to 50 wins yet again? That would be the 19th straight season. Yeah, 19 in a row if they were to finish that. So their win tied them for fifth place in the West against New Orleans. On the flip side, the Wizards dropped to sixth place. The Sixers are moving on up, and so they would face Cleveland Cavaliers if the playoffs were to start today. The Cavs just beat the best team in the Eastern Conference, the Raptors, by like 132-129. And LeBron had some ridiculous stats. It was a night of ridiculous stats. 30-30 game, not 30-for-30, but 30-30 game for Dwight Howard as Charlotte earned the W over Brooklyn. He had 32 points and 30 boards. And then LeBron was, I think, the first player, either the first time in his career or first time in history, that he had 15 assists and no turnovers. He also had more than 30 points. So it would not be a player that the Wizards want to go up against right now. Obviously, they've got to make some progress. And they're going against two teams that are out of the playoff picture coming up next Friday night. Both home games, too, where the Wizards have been, you know, a little bit shaking. But they've got the Denver Nuggets Friday night and then the New York Knicks on Sunday. So nothing's ever guaranteed, but the Wizards have got to win those for sure to hopefully get that home court playoff advantage. What else happened this game? So, yeah, I mean, it seemed like a couple of guys, you know, Bradley Beal put the Wizards up by seven. He hit four straight shots early in the first quarter, he was knocking them down early. And then, Oubre came to life late in the second half. He was hitting threes. He finished shooting 9-of-17, which is pretty good for 21 points, but just not too many options. Four guys were in double figures. Jan Mahimny played solid as well. And I haven't even gotten to this guy yet. But defensively, the Wizards could not handle LaMarcus Aldridge whatsoever. Aldridge had 27 points in just 31 minutes. He had nine rebounds, four assists, a steal, and two blocks. And his turnaround over the right shoulder, didn't matter who was guarding him. Gortat, Mahimny, Morris, anybody who the Wizards put on him, they couldn't contain LaMarcus Aldridge. Nobody really has been able to all season. He's been the one offensive threat for the Spurs. And he finished with 27. Wizards had no answer in the second half, and they fell. And that's about all I have to say about this ugly Wizards-Spurs game. Once again, the final score was 98-90, and the Wizards have a lot of ground to make up if, you know, they want to avoid Cleveland in that first round and finish the season on a high note as John Wall gets ready to come back and they regain their health a little bit heading into postseason. So we're gonna take a real quick break now, and we're gonna start talking to our guest for the night, Wizards extra reporter Brandon Nguyen. First, we're gonna talk about Markieff Morris's improvements after he kind of seemed a bit inconsistent to start the year, recovering from a couple of injuries, including one dating back to last playoff series when he badly sprained his ankle, but didn't even miss a game, which is pretty impressive. It looked like that was gonna be serious, so. Markieff is back in the swing of things. He's been playing well, averaging 13.7 games before the Spurs game through February and March. And then finally, we're going to talk about the young guns for the Wizards, Oubre and Satoransky. And, you know, they're doing well now. Of course, Satoransky's filling in well as a starter for Wall while he's injured. But we're just, you know, going to dream about what could have been if they got more minutes earlier in their career. You know, perhaps the Wizards would have beaten the Celtics if they had a reliable point guard, backup point guard, last postseason. So we'll get into all that right here on the Locked On Wizards podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Hey guys, if you've already busted your bracket, there's still a way for you to cash in here on March Madness at MyBookie. If you haven't signed up yet, it's not too late. Doesn't matter if you've been a player for years or you like a team because of the colors match with your favorite shoes, just lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players. Start betting at mybookie.ag. If you're sick and tired of the runaround when you ask for your payout, just join MyBookie. We only recommend a service that's been good to me and all my listeners, so MyBookie is definitely the way to go. That's why I'm telling you to get with it, get with the program, because they pay fast without any hassles at all. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. Stick with MyBookie and in-game live betting so you can place a bet right after tip-off. That's the story. Join MyBookie. We'll match your first deposit with a 50% bonus, and just use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all one word, to activate your offer. Again, visit mybookie.ag today. Play, win, get paid. That's all there is to it. All right, we are back with the Locked On Wizards podcast with our guest here this evening. After we recapped in the previous segment, the Wizards Spurs finish. Wizards obviously... Not obviously, but the Wizards lost it 98-90. So we've got Brandon Nguyen, who is a Wizards Extra reporter, just like me. Brandon, how many years have you been with Wizards Extra now?
I've been with Wizards Extra for almost 4 years now.
Awesome, awesome. Keep up the good work. How's everything going today, Brandon?
Everything's going pretty well. I just hate this weather we're having right now in mid-March. It shouldn't be snowing around this time of year.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to stay home from work tomorrow, though. Hopefully the federal facilities will be closed. We'll see about that. Ideally. But how cold it's been. Markieff Morris has been the opposite here since John Wall's gone down. He is playing incredibly well, averaging 13.7 points a game, 6.2 rebounds, and 3.2 assists since the start of February when Wall hasn't been in the lineup. The Wizards have been... not just treading water, but they've been pretty decent in those games. I've got to double check the record. I think it's like 13-8, something around those lines, 14-8. I've got to double check. But what do you think has been the difference for Markieff? Is it just the ball's moving more? He's getting some more opportunities. What do you think, Brandon?
I think he's getting more opportunities. And I also think because of his increase in minutes, that also contributes to his uptick in points per game. Because he's averaging 31 minutes. He's been averaging 31 minutes in March, which is about the same amount of minutes he averaged last year. And earlier in the season, he was dealing with his injuries, which not only affected his production, but also affected the amount of minutes he plays. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I guess more minutes equals a healthier Markieff Morris, and a healthier Markieff Morris is a more dangerous player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, some of these stat lines he's put together, especially against the Celtics, which is his best game of the season offensively, have been pretty good. So, of course, he missed the first 7 games due to recovering from his sports hernia surgery and then a suspension after a bench clearing brawl against the Warriors, and so. Yeah, recently he's looked great. He had 15 points against the Pacers and the Wizards' victory there, and then he had 20 against the Celtics and 27 against Minnesota before that. Strange game where he had just 4 points in 19 minutes against the Heat, but then before that it was 17, 16, 12, 15, 16, 14. So in the month of March, you know, he's had at least, there was only one game where he didn't get 12 points, and then his rebound numbers have been pretty consistent. He had his season high of 12 rebounds. That was against Miami in their first matchup when the Wizards won in overtime. And then assists, he's been, you know, pretty consistently 3 or 4 assists, so that's been solid as well. It seems like everyone's kind of stepping up and filling the void a little bit more, but it's definitely been noticeable that Morris, who seemed a lot like he was disappearing from games earlier in the season, has found his role and is taking advantage not just of the opportunity, but like last year he was really the guy that you could go to off the bench for a bucket, and it seems like now, later in games, he's being more aggressive, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. Shoot, I was about to say something, but I forgot what I was going to say. Because I remember that that huge shot he made against Miami
That corner three?
On March 6th, yeah, that corner three.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's balling out. That might have been one of the biggest shots he's hit all season. Because the ball really goes to him in the fourth quarter. It's usually a Beal-centric offense, or when Wall was in the lineup, they would take turns playing one-on-one basketball. Yeah. So the ball would rarely go to him.
And, oh man, now you caught me on your train where I was about to say something and lost my line of thought. Would you say that of all the Wizards defenders, he's best equipped to guard the inside-out game of LaMarcus Aldridge on Wednesday night?
Oh yeah, he definitely has the size and strength and the foot speed to stay with some of these stretch fours, or even some fives, depending on who he's guarding.
Yeah, and I think on the last podcast that aired on what was Dash Radio's Nothing But Net, that aired on Tuesday night. So we heard from Danny Meltzer, and he said that home court advantage is a little bit more important than, you know, trying to recuperate these last couple of games in the last 12 games for the Wizards. Would you agree that earning that home court advantage or maybe getting up to a 3 seed matters more than maybe giving guys like Bradley Beal or Otto Porter nights off when they're playing close to 40 minutes so consistently because you need them for the playoffs? What's your take on rest versus, you know, finishing with the best record that you can to put yourself in the best position once the playoffs roll around, Brandon?
Honestly, the Wizards should just go and get the best seed possible. I mean, it's a very tight playoff race between seeds 4 and 7. I mean, a losing streak can knock them down to the 7th seed. And this is what happens when you don't take care of business early in the season, when you're losing games to Dallas, Phoenix, Charlotte, Atlanta, Brooklyn. Yeah, they put themselves in a position where they can't afford to take games off with only 12 games left in the regular season. And half of those games are against teams that have a 500 record or better. So they got to lock in for these last 12 games.
But then again, the Wizards really hit the wall in the playoffs last year. They had a 6-game series against Atlanta and then a 7-game death march in Boston where they had a lot of early leads, but it seemed like might have run out of gas or something. But it just seems like it's kind of a double-edged sword, because sure, you can go all out and try and get that 3 seed or whatever. Who knows with the shakeup if it'll make any difference. And I personally am not scared of Toronto or Boston in the playoffs anyway. But then on the other hand, if you're playing all those minutes and getting all those victories to end the regular season, you're going to have the same gas players come playoff time. You're at risk of injury. Of course, John Wall is not going to be playing 100% in the playoffs. He's about to come back to playing 5-on-5 scrimmages and get back into, ideally, you know, playing in games little by little after that. But you know, you're not going to get the 100% healthy John Wall. So it's really a tough conundrum that we'll see how Scott Brooks manages minutes and whether he'll be still playing the starters if the Wizards go down by like 15 points in the second half. You would think so, but I mean, I guess we'll just see how it plays out. So we got one more topic after this word from our sponsors. We're going to do a What If Wednesday. And this topic is just, where would the Wizards be if they focused maybe a little bit less on the here and now and focused more on getting minutes for Kelly Oubre and Tomas Satoransky, especially those rookie years where they both averaged like 3 points a game. Oubre was playing under the Whitman regime, back behind a couple of guys who you wouldn't think much of anymore just 2 years ago. So stay tuned. Brandon Nguyen and Noah Getzel, that's me, will be right back to end off to end this Locked On Wizards podcast. All right, guys, welcome back to Locked On Wizards. I'm your host, Noah Getzel. You can follow me on Twitter. I think I've mentioned this already. It's Noah_Getzel, GOETZEL. My name on Twitter is nowhere near as cool as Brandon Nguyen's. Brandon, tell them where the people can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Nguyen, Nguyen _45.
Oh, I had it backwards. Okay, 45. Okay, Nguyen, 45. Let me double check, make sure.
Yeah, I forgot my own Twitter handle.
Come on, you got one job. It's actually 45, then Nguyen, Nguyen, with an underscore between those. What does 45 mean to you? Are you a big Donovan Mitchell fan or something?
No, it's just a random number.
Phil Chenier was 45, you know.
He was.
Yeah,
he's getting his number retired on Saturday?
Right.
Sunday.
So, do you think that the trajectory of Kelly Oubre and Tomas Satoransky's careers would be any different? Of course, they're both key role players off the bench, perhaps the only reliable role players for the Wizards right now. A lot of people are predicting that, you know, Kelly Oubre could be a starter or perhaps even like an all-star someday. There's a lot of high praise for him coming from other Wizards teammates. And so let's just like look back on his career a little bit. So last year, he was like, okay, his rookie year, let's start there. He was stuck behind a bunch of small forwards, Jared Dudley, who was born in 1985, so his best years are clearly behind him, and then even 2 years ago. And then there was Garrett Temple playing some small forward, who else slid in and played a little bit of small forward. Jarrell Eddy, he was on the squad, and Oubre didn't get many minutes. I think it was about 19 a game or less. No, it was 10 a game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 10 again.
Okay.
10 minutes a game.
And he averaged just 3.7 points, 2.1 rebounds, and 0.02 assists, 0.03 steals. And he only appeared in 63 of those games, started 9 of them. So really, you know, not performing too well there. And then he just didn't have the chance under Rennie Whitman. And then last year, he averaged 6.3 points per game. And 3 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.6 assists. Now this year he has played in 69 games, started 10 of them, and he's averaged 11.8. I think he's like third or fourth on the Wizards. I've got to double check in scoring. 11.8 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, and his shooting has just improved rapidly. We'll talk about that for Tomas Satoransky too. He's also averaging 0.9 steals and 0.4 blocks a game. His three-point shooting is up to 36%. It was 29% last season. And then he barely attempted any threes as a rookie, but he shot 32%. So major strides, especially in his ball handling and just the control that he has playing the game. And then Satoransky, his stats have definitely jumped as well. So he came over at age 25 to the Wizards for his rookie year after being drafted in 2012, the same year as Beal. And so as his first season last year, he averaged 2.7 points, 1.6 assists, half a steal, and how many rebounds? 1.5 rebounds. And then this year, he started 22 games, played 4 more games so far with 12 games remaining than last year, and he's averaging 7.1 points. I'm sure these numbers as starter are way higher. 7.1 points, 3.7 assists, 2.8 rebounds, and 0.7 steals. The biggest jump has been in his three-point shooting. He's gone up from 24% to 46%. So do you think, are you happy with the way things have shaped out in terms of the minutes that these two guys are getting now versus what if maybe they were playing a expanded role throughout their time on the Wizards? Do you think like Sato was brought over at the right time for the team? What's your take on all this, Brandon?
I think Sato, I mean, I'm happy with the minutes they're getting now. I mean, Sato, it's pretty clear now that Satoransky can play. I mean, he's the backup point guard that the Wizards have been looking for a couple years now.
John Wall's whole career.
John Wall's whole career, essentially. And Kelly Oubre is really starting to turn to that 3-and-D player that a lot of fans predicted he would become, although on the defensive end, he still has ways to go, but the potential is there because of his athleticism and his length. But, and it has me wondering if Satoransky was the primary backup point guard for John Wall against the Celtics in the playoffs last year. Maybe John Wall would have a little bit more in the tank in Game 7, and maybe
instead of Brandon Jennings,
instead of Brandon Jennings, and maybe the Wizards would be playing the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals instead of the Celtics.
That's a good what
maybe,
if.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting situation when John Wall gets back because there's such good chemistry on the court when Satoransky is playing with the rest of the starters that you've got to wonder, you know, is it going to work out with Wall, Beal, and Satoransky? Will that be a line that works defensively? Will they be able to get enough rebounds? It's definitely a question because, you know, we've seen Satoransky do so much in just a short amount of games starting, and, you know, the way he's able to get relatively close to a triple-double a lot of these games, it's something that you don't just want to stash away back on your bench. And then when we look at Kelly Oubre, when is this guy going to be a starter? You know, we've said consistently that the best lineup for the Wizards is Wall, Beal, Oubre, Morris, I'm sorry, Porter and Morris without Gortat or Mahimni on the floor, just because they can't keep up with a lot of these new stretch five type center players. So it's, I don't know, what kind of lineup could you, do you think that it'll function well to have both Satoransky and Wall playing simultaneously, Brandon?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I don't know, maybe a lineup of Wall, Satoransky, Oubre, Porter, and Mahimi, because we need, because the Wizards need a big guy in there, someone to get rebounds. They can't go small. They can't go small every single time.
Did you say Beal was on the bench in that line? Wall, Satoransky, Oubre, Porter, and Mahimni, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So would that be like a transitioning to reserve, like a substitute lineup, yeah, I would guess? That would be like the start of the second quarter or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of interesting lineups that Scott Brooks can toy with, and I mean, even though Satoransky isn't incredibly young, he's 26, which is 1 year younger than John Wall, and then Oubre, I think he's like 22. He's such a youngin. He's 22. It's like, yeah, these guys have a lot of basketball. Really? That's very funny.
He's younger than me. I'm 23.
Oh, John Wall is my age, so that's hilarious. It shows how much I've accomplished in my career. I don't have any millions of dollars to be buying Rolex watches for my teammates or anything like that. But obviously, like, these guys have a lot of basketball left to play, a lot of improvements and jumps to make. And the toughest part for the Wizards regarding Oubre and Satoransky is how do you pay them, you know? Wizards are already capped out. They don't have too much flexibility. And these guys, of course, like, the markets kind of went on that roller coaster the summer of Jan Mahimni, where everyone's making ridiculous money, and now it's kind of fallen back to earth, so maybe they won't demand too much, but I don't know if, you know, deep pockets Mr. Leonsis is going to be going too deep into luxury tax. What's your take?
I would love to keep Satoransky, but, I mean, he's had a couple really good games on national TV, and I'm pretty sure some teams have taken notice of what he can do, so the only way to really keep him is to either trade Gortat or find a way to get rid of that Mahimi contract, because those two contracts are the contracts that are really holding the Wizards back financially.
And the one other thing is, you know, maybe over the summer, as much as it pains me as a Wizards fan, like, this would be the good time to trade high on either of those guys, Oubre or Satoransky. And of course, you're kind of unrooting the young talent on the team, but you've got to, you know, test the waters and see what you can get for these guys at the same time.
Is Porter tradable this upcoming offseason? Because they just signed him to a new contract.
Yeah, I'm not sure when his trade kicker kicks in. I think it's, I don't know if it's over the summer or like after next trade deadline. I've got to double check that out. But basically, like, everyone, you know, these deals that seem incredibly long with Beal and Porter, like, they are going to spend their final year as restricted free agents. So, like, it's not saying I want to get rid of either of them, but the deals aren't quite as long as everyone's making them out to be. Like, you know, Gortat is locked up for money for next year, but everyone knows, like, you know, the teams that have the cap flexibility are just going to sign and cut them, you would think. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But right now, like, we've got 12 games left to play, so we can't really be thinking about the offseason at this moment until we get out of the postseason, hopefully hoisting that Larry O'Brien trophy, right?
Hopefully we can just get out of the first round.
Yeah, hopefully. Exactly.
If the Wizards end up playing Indiana, that's not going to be a cakewalk. That's going to be a really competitive series.
No, but when you look at these standings, like, really none of these are going to be cakewalks. Come on. Like, you know, Toronto and Boston, Cleveland, nobody playing LeBron in the playoffs is never a cakewalk. The Pacers have proven they're at least very competitive against the Wizards. Neither team has been at full strength. I don't know, maybe the first matchup of the year they have been. And then Philadelphia is just incredibly talented, and Embiid is very hungry to prove that he's great and belongs in the playoffs, his first full healthy season. Miami is well coached. The Bucks have Giannis, who killed the Wizards late in the fourth quarter, two games this year in DC. So yeah, I wouldn't say that any of these teams are a cakewalk. If you have to pick one, though, do you want to play the Miami Heat in the first round?
I'd rather play the Indiana Pacers. But when you look at this Wizards team's history in the first round of playoffs, they've been dominant going back to their series against Chicago in 2014. And the only reason why the series went to six last year was because the Wizards kind of took their foot off the gas pedal in games three and four. So they've been really dominant in the first round the last couple of years.
Welcome to Wizards life the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years. Look like they're good, then boom, all of a sudden the other team comes crawling back. No lead is ever safe. All right, Brandon, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today about Markieff Morris's improvements and, you know, what might have been if Oubre and Satoransky had more time in the oven, or I guess not more time in the oven, but more minutes in real game situations, whether the like having their feet to the fire would have sped their development a little bit more. And both of us kind of agree that we're happy where they are, and we don't know, we're hoping that the Wizards can hold on to them for bargain deals, but you never know. Oubre's got a ton of talent, so we shall see. But anyway, that's all we got for tonight. Locked On Wizards returns with a brief preview of the San Antonio matchup on Thursday night. And then our buddies Arthur Renault and you're going to be joining Arthur, right, for the Friday podcast to recap that Spurs game?
Yes.
All right, Brandon.
Join Arthur on Friday.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Noah Getzel. Tonight's guest was Brandon Nguyen, who's 45 first, and then underscore N-G-U-Y-E-N on Twitter. You can find me at Noah underscore Getzel. And of course, Locked On Wizards is just at Locked On Wizards. While you're at it, follow Wizards Extra. Brandon and I report for them. So that's at Wizards X-T-R-A. Brandon, you had such a good song recommendation last time. What you got for us this time?
Have you seen Black Panther yet?
I have not.
Oh, I gotta see that movie. That'll be my song choice for this podcast.
The theme song?
Pray for me.
Alright, cool.
That's a song from the Black Panther.
Nice. I'll put that on. I tried to watch it and ended up going to the wrong theater. I went to Gallery Place instead of Georgetown.
Big
disorganization. That's kind of how my brain works, but drop the ball there. Anyway, thanks so much, everyone, and have a good night.